Hello guys, this is Shola Adio again coming to you on another edition of Random Gist. The title of today's Random Gist is How Can I Know If He's a Boaz or a Bozo? How can I know if he's a Boaz or a Bozo? Now, I just started off on a train of thought today, something to do with men who beat women, and I sent out a tweet saying that sister should watch out for a man who beats a woman and make sure you don't get married to such. And one of my dear followers called Abike then decided to pop that question to me, which was, how can I tell? In fact, the tweet reads, sister, I will be extremely concerned if you want to marry a man who grew up watching his father box his mother regularly. And then she goes, how am I going to know? Or how, at least how can I tell that, such a person is disposed that way? So I decided to make this recording as a tribute to her. Abike's birthday was yesterday, the 19th of March, a day after my own birthday, and she's one of my ardent followers of the series Soul Ties. So I decided to dedicate this recording to Abike. She has my permission to mention her name on this recording, and also I'm going to be putting up avatar as the profile picture of this recording, so you're going to see what Abike looks like. I think she's very pretty. Anyway, I've had a look at the AV, I've downloaded it, and she is pretty. All right, so let's cut straight to the chase now. Now, how can I tell if he's a Boaz or a Bozo? First of all, I want to say to you in starting that I am not the custodian of all knowledge. The custodian of all knowledge is the Holy Ghost. And what the Holy Ghost has done is that he has apportioned various aspects of knowledge to various people on the earth today. So I can only speak about the portion that he has given to me. So as you learn from me, you also learn from other people that the Holy Spirit is inspiring, and then you have a rounded education as to go about things. So what I'm about to present to you is what God has taught me through observation, through experience, and through other things, which I'm going to mention today. So we're going to cut straight to the chase now, which is, how can I tell if he's a Boaz or a Bozo? Now, I did a recording sometime last week, I think, which was quite well received, both very pleasantly and controversially, which was titled Don't Fingerprint My Soul. And in that recording, I was making it clear that that I don't believe in marathon dating, and I believe that it is pretty much a waste of time, and it is stacked negatively or stacked unfavorably against women. Women don't have forever to test drive and to find out whether you are compatible or not. So if a woman is over 30 and you need 5 years to know whether she's fit for you to be married or not, then it means that she has just two of you to run through till she's 40. I don't think that makes any sense at all. Seriously, it makes no sense. I mean, at 30, you now want to... So two people will have to sample you 5 years each to know whether they should marry you or not. I don't think it makes any sense. And I think I will still stay on that point strongly, that something else has to be done. But for you to take me around all the eating houses for 5 years before you can figure out whether I'm good enough to be married to you, I don't agree with it, especially in church. They may do it out there in the world, but in church, I will contest it. I will debate against it in church, seriously. and I have my reasons, which you will appreciate by the time I finish this recording. Now, many times as people, you meet people who actually are different from you. No one is actually the same as you. And one of the, one of the fears that I had as a growing lad was that if I meet you, I might not be able to figure out who exactly you are. And if I cannot figure out who exactly you are, then I have a problem committing my future to you in marriage or otherwise. So I decided that, look, I needed to know certain things about you. I needed to find out certain things about you before I can commit to you. And by the way, these things, this recording also applies in the other direction as well. So if you're a man, you need to listen to this recording as well to figure out how to tell whether this lady is a roof or a rot. So women need to find out whether it's a Boaz or a Bozo. Men need to find out whether it's a roof or a rot. You understand? They are different. Roof and rot are different. R-U-T-H and R-U-T. They are different. Some women are roof, some women are rot. Some women are bozos, some men are bozos, and some men are boazes. So you need to know which one you're dealing with here. Now let's cut straight to the chase. Now I've come up with three steps in which you can be able to tell whether this guy is a Boaz or a bozo. And this will apply both to people who show you who they are and people who don't show you, or who have decided not to show you who they are, or who have decided to mask themselves or camouflage their real identities. Now, a lot of times people camouflage who they are. Now, most times when people meet you, especially dubious people, what they try to do is that they try to present something to you that they are not. Because if they don't do that and you discover who they really are, you're going to be put off and you're going to abandon them. So what they do is that they deceive you by presenting to you something that they are not, so that they can suck you in and you can make a wrong decision to absorb them into your life. And then when it is too late, supposedly, you know, for Christians, you know, it's believed that when you are married, you've made a lifetime decision. So it's believed that even if you marry the wrong person, it is too late. Now, I'm not going to debate that as to whether they are right or wrong, but I would say that is how people behave, and that behavior has been brought into church. So it is believed that if I can camouflage and pretend long enough in church for me to suck you in and for us to make a commitment of marriage to each other, then I have successfully hoodwinked you and I have successfully captured you. So that is believed in church today. You understand? So you need to be careful and you need to be thorough in your assessment of people. Now, the first step I would want to recommend in being able, in, you know, that you can take in being able to tell whether the guy you are talking to is a Boaz or a bozo is by observing what he says. And I'll read you the scripture for that. You need to observe what he says. Luke chapter 6 verse 45. You need to observe what he says. Luke 6:45 says that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Did you get that? So it means that if a man's heart is evil, his heart will be full of evil treasure. And it's only just a matter of time. before you tell that he is evil, simply because you will at some point hear him bring forth evil out of his mouth. And the Bible also says that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Because really, come to think of it, if a man has a good heart, why should he speak evil in the first place? Why should I pretend to be evil if I am good? So if I am good, I will speak good, and the equation is straightforward. But in this other case, you have a lot of evil people with evil treasures in their hearts pretending to be good so that they can deceive you into a relationship. But after some time, the Bible is saying that they will eventually speak that which is abundant in their hearts. Now, let us zero in on this. So I've given you point number one, what he says. Now, when you meet a person, a lot of women, I mean, they just get carried away by a lot of fickle things. I mean, sad to say that a lot of women are fickle-minded. So, this is what I mean by being fickle-minded. They are plastic. So, when I come into your life, you measure my worth by the way I'm nice to you. Just so, that guy is so nice. He opened the door for me when he got to the car. Now, let me tell you something. A devil can pretend to be nice to you. Satan can pretend to be nice to you. A demon can pretend to be nice to you. Do you get it? Do you understand? So, Satan will never come to you with a pitchfork and horns on his head, but he will come to you as a nice person. Do you understand? So, if you get carried away by such nonsense, that, yes, he opened the door for me, he bought me a perfume. Don't get carried away by such nonsense. If they do that to you, say thank you. Don't be rude. Don't be brash. Say thank you, but don't get carried away. Do you get it? Now, when you meet people, you should pay attention to what they say. You see, most times, what people say unconsciously gives away what is actually in their heart. You see, if somebody is just talking deliberately to you, he has already choreographed what he's going to say. He knows what he's going to say to deceive you. He knows what he's going to say to hoodwink you. So it is not a problem. But there are some situations that will make a person, that will catch people off guard. Some situations can catch people off guard, and the thing that is really inside their hearts is what they will say. It's just like, now, a guy just being nice to you now, you know, he opens the door. You've never heard him use a curse word for the last 1 week that you met him. But now, something happened. You are driving along the road, and I know Lagos very well. A lot of drivers are very rough in Lagos, very rude, very brash. So, now, you imagine a guy just cut across your boyfriend. You are both in the car, cut across him in the traffic in Lagos. And the next thing your boyfriend does is to begin to release a bunch of F words against the guy. Now, he's never used an F word on you, but you heard him use at least 10 F words on that bus driver. So straight away, you know that his heart is filled with F words. Do you understand? I've just used that as an example that even though he did not use those F words on you, but a situation came across and he was squeezed and pushed to the wall and he used those F words on that stranger. Do you understand? So what he says can betray to you the real and genuine contents of his heart. Do you understand? So you need to listen to what he says. You need to observe what he says while he's under pressure. You see, people can say anything when they are not under pressure. But when a man is under pressure or a woman is under pressure, that is the best time to know what is really in his heart. When you squeeze a sponge, that is when the water and the soap inside that sponge will come out. So until that sponge is squeezed, you don't know what has been put inside it. So until a man is squeezed, you don't know what is inside his heart. So you need to observe him. Don't just go with him to all the restaurants and just be chopping all the Nandos and be putting on weight and be going out to the cinema like a fool. Watch what he is saying. Observe what he is saying. Listen to what he is saying. I mean, you can imagine you are dating a guy, and maybe, in fact, you should, when even when you go to those movies, observe his reaction to the things that are happening while you are watching that movie. I mean, you imagine, for instance, a woman is rude to her husband in the movie, and then the man picks up, and then the man picks up his belt and begins to beat that woman. Observe his reaction to that event in the movie. I mean, you can imagine if the guy is nodding his head, yes, 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 that woman was rude, she deserves that beating. Know straight away that this guy will beat you to death if you marry him. So observe what he's saying. Don't just go there like a fool and just be enjoying the Nando's and the food. Observe what he's saying. Listen to what he's saying. In fact, some of the things he's saying, you may not even understand. But by the time you tell your friend what he said while he was under pressure yesterday, your friend will quickly say to you that, oh girl, watch it, oh. This guy might be very dangerous. So you need to observe his reaction, the things that he says, his disposition towards issues in life. You need to observe them, and that will tell you what kind of mindset that he is got. What is his mindset towards domestic violence? What is his mindset towards premarital sex? What is his mindset towards extramarital sex? You need to find out what his disposition is. And the way you find out is that you observe. You observe what he says, you listen to what he says, you check out what he says under pressure, and you don't even, in fact, some of the things you might even trigger some of those things. There was something I did to my wife before I popped the question to her. I put her under pressure. We just had a meal, and you know what she did? I mean, out of respect, and look, my wife is, I would say that she's the one that respects me the most on this planet. Look, out of respect, she packed my plate away from the table, and we're only still just, you know, talking to ourselves as friends. We were friend zoned, do you understand? And she just packed my plate from the table, and I looked at her and I said something to her. I said, why did you pack my plate? I can pack my plate myself. I'm not your husband. She just looked at me and her face just changed. She was upset, and then she just looked at me and said, but I was just only helping. Now that, why did you say that? I said, no, I was just joking. Don't mind me. So I just, and then 5 minutes later, when we're talking about something else, she asked me again, said, why did you say that? I said, no, don't mind me, I was just joking. Now, she didn't know that I was only testing her reaction. I wanted to put her under pressure. Look, let me tell you something. Up till yesterday, my wife still packed the plates in front of me. If I don't pack my plates very quickly after I have a meal, she packs the plate away from me. And it's not that I have a problem with packing my own plates. I love packing my own plates, you know, but she does it instinctively before I even get to do it myself. Do you understand? So you observe what people say. You don't just, you know, you don't just get carried away by what they decide to show you, but you observe what they say when they are under pressure. Oh man, we are, you know, we're a bit pressed for time now. So what he says matters. Now let us look at the next point, which is what he does. Now, there are a lot of people, they may escape in the area of speech. Now, there are some very deliberate fraudsters who watch what they say. They watch what they say very carefully, and they ensure that what is inside their heart is never, ever betrayed through their speech. So even when you observe what people say, they may still escape your scrutiny. So the next level of knowing whether he's a Boaz or a bozo is by observing what he does. Now, some people are just very naive. Some ladies especially are very socially inept. You need to observe what he does. Now, Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7 says that, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you need to observe what he does. What does he do? What does the guy do? You need to observe what he does. Now, what does he do? Who are his friends? What does he enjoy doing? Do you understand? That gives you a clue as to whether he is a Boaz or a bozo. Now, Let me tell you something. Joseph was a very cheerful guy and very enterprising guy. So while he was in Potiphar's house, he was enterprising, was business-minded. He always did stuff very quickly, was productive. Now, Potiphar's wife lied against him, and then he went to prison. When he got to prison, he was very productive, was very enterprising. He was very forthcoming, he was a nice chap. He always got things done, he was a go-getter. So, and guess what? When he also got to the palace, he was still productive, he was a go-getter, he was a nice chap. He always got things done. Do you understand? So you see that Joseph did not differ in who he was in Potiphar's house. He did not differ in who he was in the prison. And he did not differ in who he was in Pharaoh's palace. Now, you have seen that pattern and that story in the Bible. But why, as a woman, would you ever imagine that what I am not in Potiphar's house and what I am not in prison, I will become when you take me to the palace? You must be naive. You must be socially inept to think that way. So watch how a man behaves in Potiphar's house. Watch how a man behaves in the prison. He will not behave differently when he gets to Pharaoh's palace. Do you understand? So all this motivational junk that you say that don't judge me by my past, don't judge me by what I'm doing, my present is better than my reputation. You don't trust a man until you test him. Do you understand? Joseph had a reputation in Potiphar's house. He was productive. Joseph had a reputation in prison. He was productive. And that reputation took him to the palace and he was still productive. So I want to say to you that whatever you are not in Potiphar's house, whatever you are not in prison, you can't suddenly become because we took you to Pharaoh's palace. So watch who this guy is in prison. Watch who he is in his house. Watch who he is at work. Whatever he is in those two places, he cannot differ from by if you take him to Pharaoh's palace. Do you understand? So you need to watch what he does. What does he do? Go to his house and you see him slapping his junior ones. Now, when you see him slapping his junior ones, he's going to slap you too now. You should be able to figure that out with your sharp, sharp mind that if he's slapping people in Potiphar's house and slapping people in the prison, he will also slap people in Pharaoh's palace. So you need to observe how does he react to things? What does he do when he is put under pressure? Have you ever seen him fight before? Have you ever seen him beat somebody up before? Is he a fraudster? You need to look at those things. You need to observe those things. What does he do? What does he spend his time doing? Does he love porn movies? You need to look around even in his house. The guy invites you to his house. He invites you to his house and he even while he invites you to his house and maybe like their family house, walk around their bookshelf. Look at the kind of books they read in their house. Do you understand? I went to one girl's house and the moment she said sit down in the living room, I did not sit down. I started walking around. I walked around and I went straight to the shelf. I observed the shelf. I saw a PhD thesis on the shelf. I said, who owns this PhD thesis? I said, that is my dad. My dad has a PhD. Wow. So I was observing the kind of books that they read in that house. I was just observing, just looking. What do they do in that house? I observed the kind of cartoons they watched in that house. I observed the kind of language they used in that house. I observed the way she reacted to her junior ones in that house. I observed the way their parents reacted in that house. So you observe things. You just observe. You just watch. How does he behave? How does he carry out his business? Do you understand? He is no different from what he does. Don't mind what he presents to you, but what he does is the real deal. So you need to watch what he does. Now, the next thing I just want to mention, we are really pressed for time, but I'm sure we're going to have another time where we'll look at this again. So we have looked at what does he say. What he says might give you a clue as to whether he's a Boaz or a Bozo. What does he do? What he does might also give you a clue as to whether he's a Boaz or a Bozo. Now, you need to be very skillful. You need to be a very skillful watcher of people and personalities. in life. Now, and a lot of people, they're not really that sharp, they're not really that astute, so you might even need to involve mentors, you know, you even need to talk to people. I mean, I'm in touch with people, and a lady just says to me that, yes, I was out on a date yesterday. I just said, okay, you were out on a date, so what did you talk about? And then she begins to talk, and then she begins to talk, and she says, the guy said this, and I'll be like, oh, from everything you have said to me now, can you see anything that is wrong? Said no. Yeah, everything went fine. Are you sure? Said no, everything went fine. Because they are not detailed in observation. And I just look at it. I just say, look, this guy said this and this to you. Now, can't you connect the dots? Can't you join the dots? That if you join this dot and this other dot from everything that he has told you, can't you see that this is a path leading to destruction? And they'll just be like, eh? How did you figure that out? I said, so easy now. Abba, all you just need to do is join the dots. Like a little kid, just join the dots and you can see the pattern ensuing. You can see that this guy has the pattern of a snake that will kill you. So can you see that? So you need to connect the dots in life. I mean, if you know what happened, you know, some Nigerian, some years ago, you know, was caught in an aircraft because he tried to bomb the aircraft by hiding a bomb in his pants. And, you know, then his father came out on the media and said, look, I actually alerted America that my son was missing and that my son is in a country where I think he's being trained to do something stupid. Now, he alerted America, he alerted the U.S. ambassador in Nigeria, and they did nothing until this guy was caught. They didn't even put him on a watch list. I mean, they didn't join the dots. So when Obama came on the scene, told the FBI and all the intelligence people off right there on media and said that they were not smart enough to join the dots. So if a fellow is a radical Muslim in London, then the next time you hear about him, he's already in Yemen. Your sharp mind should be able to join the dots that this guy is being trained to become a terrorist. It's as simple as that. So they didn't join the dots from those events. He was radical in London, was radicalized in London, he was trained in Yemen, and the intelligence did not join the dots. So you need to be intelligent. You need to join the dots. You need to join the dots. You okay? Now, you went to his house. You saw his junior brother beat up his junior sister. You should join the dots that something could be wrong here and put up your antenna. Put on your radar and start watching the guy and watch his behavior, because he might not be different from those siblings that you observed beating themselves up. You understand? So you need to ask the Holy Spirit to give you a sharp mind to join the dots when you see things in life. Then the next thing I want to mention very quickly, I mean, this really, I can go on expanding all these 3 points for hours. So we've dealt with what he says, what he does, and then the next thing we want to look at, which is very major, is what God says. Now, in addition to observing what he says, as in what the man or woman is saying or what the man or woman is doing, the third point I want to raise is, what is God saying? You see, and this one, it is only for Christians who have the Spirit of God. If you are not a Christian and if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't know how to be led by the Spirit of God, then you are going to fall short very, very sharply here. And sad to say, our churches are now filled with motivational junk. And it is this motivational junk that has robbed us of the power of the Holy Spirit. In those days, people could pray and know by the Spirit whether it is a demon that is coming towards them or somebody that is sent from God. There was one story of a man of God who had a daughter, and one guy wanted to start dating his daughter, or whatever you call it, date or marry or courting or whatever you call it. So what this girl did was that she knew that her father was a man of God, so she invited this guy to meet her dad right from the beginning. Said, if you want us to go out on outings of any sort, you have to see my dad first. So she took him to her dad. Many of you out there, you will not do that. The guy would have slept with you finish before he now says he wants to marry you, before your dad now knows about it. She took the guy to her dad. So the guy had to agree to meet her dad. And her dad, you know what her dad did? Her dad took the guy into his office. His office was filled with books, Christian books. And the man said, look, I'm a prophet of God. And if you are a bozo, if you are here to hurt my daughter, or to harm my daughter, the Holy Spirit will tell me. Do you understand? So there you go. Both of you, off you go. Bye-bye. And he ushered them out of his office. Less than a week later, something happened. His daughter woke up one morning and just came into his office and said, "Daddy, there's something I want to tell you." And what happened? The lady had been praying. Now, many of you don't pray, because the way you know whether you want to marry the guy is whether he's loaded, whether he has a Bugatti, whether he has a Ferrari, whether he opens the door for you, whether he has a Range Rover, whether he talks nicely. But demons can do all these things. Do you understand? So this girl was praying. And while she was praying, do you know what happened? She saw a vision of herself. Do you understand? She saw a vision of herself inside a car. Now, she was sitting inside a car, and outside the car, there was a huge dog. That dog was like a lion, was as big as a lion, and that dog was beating against the car. That dog wanted to come and tear her up. That dog was beating against the car. That dog wanted to break into the car, and that dog just kept on beating against the car in that vision. And after a while, she came out of that vision. And she told her dad, said, "That is the vision I saw about this relationship." And you know what her dad said to her? Her dad just said, "Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord has spoken, the Lord has spoken. He's a dog, he's a dog, he's a dog. That boy is a dog, that boy is a dog." Do you understand? So by the intervention of the Holy Spirit, that lady was able to see that spiritually that guy was a dog. Up till that point, that guy has been the nicest person in this universe to that lady. Do you understand? So a devil can be nice to you, but the Holy Spirit alone is the only one who can fish him out. And if you are not trained by your pastor to pray in the Spirit and to hear from God, you are going to fall short in this area. Motivational speaking alone cannot get you there. Motivational teachings cannot get you there. Our churches have been reduced to motivational centers, and that is the only reason why they are now telling you to date people for 40 years before you know whether you can marry them or not. That is nonsense. The Holy Spirit should be able to talk to you. That look, in a matter of days or weeks, the Holy Spirit should be able to reveal to you that this person is going to harm you. Stop that relationship. Or the Holy Spirit should be able to tell you, this person is the will of God for you. You can go ahead. Do you understand? And I'll read scriptures for you. Psalm 127 verse 1. It says, "Except the Lord build a house, the labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wicked but in vain." You must get to that point in your life where you vow to God that I will not move an inch except I hear your voice. And that anything I do without your voice is like a waste of time. And John chapter 16 verse 13 says, "Albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Do you believe in that scripture at all? That if you have the Holy Spirit, it will guide you into all truth. So it means that the truth about this guy, the Holy Spirit can tell me because of the promise of Jesus in John 16, 13. So if the Holy Spirit can tell me about you, why do I need to rely on 40 years of dating to know who you are? Do you understand? Huh? Do you understand? Look, when I met my wife, I knew her fleetingly. Before then, I knew her fleetingly in school. But when I began to consider her seriously for a relationship, I began to pray that, "Lord, speak to me. Lord, give me indicators. Lord, show me the truth about her. Am I going to be in a successful marriage with this kind of person? Lord, speak to me." And I tell you, in 3 weeks, I got my conviction that Monisola is the will of God for my life. And we've been married for 18 years, over 18 years now. Do you understand? So when God speaks to you, it is a mandate from heaven. Now, I talk to Christians today and they don't even have the concept of God speaking to them. So I really don't know what they teach in church these days. Everybody is just moving by sight. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says that henceforth know we no man. after the flesh. But these days, everybody's knowing people after the flesh. Everybody's looking at the car that you are riding. They're looking at the way you are behaving on the outside alone, without looking at the heart, without being in communion with the Holy Ghost to tell to be able to tell spiritually who is this man in the realm of the spirit. And let me tell you something. David was preparing himself in the desert. When it was time to anoint the king, all the glamorous people came out. All the people that look nice. The people with swag. You see, David's brothers, they had swag. You know, just like those people that you adore today that have swag. I see all the young ladies now. They put up the, pictures of their favorite footballers. They have swag. They put up pictures of Ronaldo, Giroud, you know, with their bare chest. Those are the people that have swag. And you see, you want your husband to look like that, that he has swag. But let me tell you, sister, that guy might just be a devil that will kill you. Do you understand? David did not have the swag, but his brothers had the swag. And when it was time to anoint the king, when it was time to choose the king of Israel, all the brothers came out. The father brought the brothers out, and Samuel, you know, who was in the spirit. Samuel was in the spirit. Samuel was praying in the spirit. Samuel was knowing things by the spirit. He went past all the brothers and he said, no. The person, the chosen of the Lord, is not among these people. Do you have any more sons? And I said, yes, there's one little rough looking little brat called David. And Samuel said, let us bring him. We want to check him out. And David came, and the Lord spoke to Samuel, this is the guy, anoint him. Many of you need to operate like Samuel today. Stop choosing your future partners and friends by swag. Do you understand? You need to be in the spirit. Do you understand? And so what did Samuel say? He said that you guys look on the outside, but God looks on the inside. If you want to choose the king of Israel for your life, you need to look on the inside as well, not just on the outside alone. Do you get it? You need to be in touch with the Holy Spirit. You need to hear God. Do you understand? You don't need to date for 5 years before you can tell whether this person should be married to you or not. Do you understand? If God speaks to you, if God testifies clearly in your spirit that this person is my will for you, you don't need 40 years of dating to know whether you should marry that person or not. Do you understand? That is something that we have lost in Christianity today. We are moving by swag, we are moving by the flesh, like Jesse, the father of David, instead of moving by the spirit, just like Samuel, Prophet Samuel was doing when he picked David out of the whole lot. Do you understand? So, and you see, a lot of times, people who are spiritually sensitive and spiritually smart, they can see the treasure that is hidden away in the rubble. A lot of you, when you see the rubble, you just walk away. But the treasure might be hidden under the rubble. And you need to be spiritually smart and spiritually sensitive and be connected to the Spirit of God and be able to pray and wait patiently in the presence of God, worshiping God, praying in the Spirit, and waiting to hear from Him to know whether there is a treasure sitting under that rubble. Do you understand? So I want to end my conversation here. And once again, I want to say happy birthday to Abike, my very good friend on Twitter. I'm going to put your AVE up with this recording. And I just want to say that I wish you well. And my prayer for you is that you are going to choose a Boaz in the name of Jesus. And you're not going to end up with a bozo in the name of Jesus. Amen.